A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Thanks so much for tuning in to another edition of Bearing Arms, Cam and Company. My name is Cam Edwards. It is great to have you with us today. On the program here in a matter of moments, Cibola County, New Mexico Sheriff Tony Mace going to join us. We're going to talk about the red flag bill that was signed into law by New Mexico Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham last week and the comments that she made when she signed that bill into law, basically telling county sheriffs, listen, if you're not going to enforce these red flag orders, you should resign. Well, Sheriff Tony Mace has a very different idea about what to do when it comes to those red flag laws. You'll hear about that coming up in just a second. Also, just a quick reminder, we were out at CPAC 2020 last week, the Conservative Political Action Conference, and there are a number of videos that have now been uploaded to the YouTube page. If you subscribe to Town Hall Media, you can check out our interviews with folks like Maj Ture from Black Guns Matter, Rob O'Donnell from Brothers Before Others, Amanda Suffacool, and Kellyanne Pigeon from the DC Project, and more. So make sure that you, if you're not already subscribing to Town Hall Media on YouTube, that you do so, so you can get access to those interviews. Want to thank each and every person who stopped by the Town Hall Media booth so we could have a little chat during the CPAC event. And it was a great time, I think, had by all. But make sure that you check out all of the interviews that we were able to do there at National Harbor, Maryland. Right now, let's get into our conversation with Cibola County, New Mexico Sheriff Tony Mace here on Bearing Arms, Cam and Company.
Good morning, Cam. Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure. Unfortunately, I wish the news was better. We did see Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham sign the red flag bill into law. And during the signing ceremony, she had some words for you and the other sheriffs who have opposed this this measure, saying that if you won't enforce it, if you won't use this law, that you should resign.
She did have some words for the sheriffs, and the sheriffs have some words for her. And I basically informed her that, you know, I don't work for her, and I don't work for the legislature. I work for the people that elect me into office, as well as the rest of the sheriffs across the state of New Mexico. And we will continue to represent the people. That's what we're here for. And we'll see her in court. And we're going to challenge this particular law through the judicial system, because there we won't be fighting politics and special interest groups. We'll actually be in a legal judicial system with real attorneys and real judges, and we may stand a fighting chance there.
So when do you anticipate the lawsuit being filed? Will you have to wait for the law to actually take effect?
We'll be meeting with an attorney actually tomorrow, two different attorneys, two different legal counsels, and discuss some of our options there. And then we have a third law firm that we're looking at, because this has so many issues. This particular law has so many issues against not just constitutional issues, but it has issues with the immunity clause to law enforcement. It has issues with case, it contradicts case law. There's just so much encompassed within it. So we've got to find the right law firm, because we want to go in this to win. There's so many citizens' rights at stake with this particular, unconstitutional law that we have. We really got to dot our I's and cross our T's and make sure we're getting the right law firm to represent us, because This is going to be a huge win, not just for New Mexico, but for the whole United States.
Absolutely. And unfortunately, we've seen in some other cases, some other states, court challenge is still going on. But right now, unfortunately, it seems like a lot of judges are giving a great deal of deference to these lawmakers who have, you know, put in place these initiatives that allow for individuals' rights to be stripped before they even get their day in court. What are some of the big issues that you have with New Mexico's red flag law as it was signed into law?
So, number one, under the Second Amendment of the Constitution of the United States, you cannot deny somebody their right to bear arms without committing a crime. That's a fact. We know that. There's the due process issues where a lot of these orders are ex parte. In this particular law, basically you're holding somebody guilty before even committing a crime, and you're taking away their property under the Constitution since the Magna Carta. Property has been protected. I'm sorry, a weapon can be considered property. I purchased it. It's mine. It's not the government. I haven't committed a crime. You have no right to it. They've backed up this, what they call civil search warrants. There is no such thing as a civil search warrant. You commit a criminal act, and with probable cause, we go in and swear out and get a search warrant, when a crime has been committed. Again, no crime has been committed. And then in a twist of turns, they've put in the immunity clause within this, which for us is basically as a punch at the sheriff to say, do this or you're going to be on the hook for a lawsuit for a lot of money, your county is. Well, you know, it's a double-edged sword. If we do it, we're going to get sued. If we don't do it, we're going to get sued. So I'd rather protect people's constitutional rights and protect their privacy and challenge it in the legal judicial system rather than serve a unconstitutional order. We have a right to feel secure in our homes. We have a right to unreasonable search and seizure. And, I mean, we can just go down the line on this particular, law. And we the people, we the citizens, we the sheriffs that took an oath of office, we realize these issues with it. And, when you're fighting a governor and a radical Democrat controlled, Senate and House, mm-hmm. it's bought and paid for legislation where they're driving an agenda. And we see it, Colorado, New Mexico, Virginia. I mean, just go down the line. I mean, our governor's casting campaign checks is what it boils down to.
Hey, let's talk about that for a second, because this bill was introduced last year as well. It did not pass out of the legislature. Nothing really changed, right, in terms of the makeup of the legislature between last year and this year, but the vote sure changed. So what happened? Was it those Bloomberg bucks coming into the state?
I absolutely, without a doubt, believe it was the more Bloomberg bucks coming into the state, and that's what we've seen. And some of the I think it's the campaign funding that the governor has that he can really release out to certain senators and legislators that, hey, you vote with me and here's the money. You go against me and I'm going to block all your other pieces of legislation. Any capital outlay money that you're eligible to receive for your county. Basically, I'm going to chop you guys off at the knees. Mm-hmm. Nothing. And that's what we've seen. That's what we've seen.
Yeah, we've seen that in Virginia as well. We've seen retribution on the part of lawmakers going after sheriffs. There was a cost of living increase raise, basically a 3% pay raise that Democrats voted down because the sheriffs and the Senate Majority Leader in Virginia explicitly said because the sheriffs are showing up here at these committee meetings and they're opposing the gun control laws that we're trying to put on the books. And so as a result, they're going to go after those sheriffs and their deputies. Right there in their bank accounts and to try to punish them financially. And we're seeing rumors that next year lawmakers will introduce a bill that would go after the pensions of sheriffs who do not support the anti-gun agenda there from Ralph Northam. So, what you're seeing there in New Mexico, we're seeing in Virginia as well. And I know that you were recently, this was the Western State Sheriffs Association meeting that you were at?
Yeah, that's correct. So I was the president of the Western State Sheriffs Association, and that's all seven, that's sheriffs from all 17 states west of the Mississippi to include Kansas. And, we all meet once a year there in Nevada, because that's where our base is at. And, there's sheriffs from all over, all 17 states. And I mean, we all have the same concerns and we all have the same, pretty much we talk about public land issues. We talk about the office of the sheriff. We talk about the Second Amendment. And just this year, red flag was just a huge topic during all the sheriffs. And how are we going to stop this? How are we going to slow this down? Because it's going to take the nation by storm. And I believe Virginia, New Mexico, Arizona, Texas, we're kind of the battleground states right now to get this stopped.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. And one of the things that I know you and I have talked about in the past, there is no mental health component to the red flag bill in New Mexico, right? It's simply if you're deemed to be a danger to yourself or someone else, your legally owned firearms would be taken from you and then you'd be left alone. Is that the way the law works in New Mexico?
That's absolutely right. And the one that the governor just signed, there's nothing to address the individual, the mental health, the person that's in crisis. It basically just says, hey, a complaint's been filed. Go take all their guns, seize all their property, and have a nice day. So, you know, that's a huge risk because now you've taken an already heated situation. Even if you choose to do this, and the municipalities are kind of on the fence with it. So, say a municipality chooses to go and issue one of these orders, and it's already a heated situation, right? And then you go and you take the guns and take this individual's personal property, and essentially what you've done is just agitated them and aggravated them more. And in our law, it says 48 hours. Now they have 48 hours to sue and figure out what they're going to do, and you've already escalated it. So the probability for someone to act up now is even more, and you're encouraging it with this law.
Yeah, it's the more that I dig into these the actual language of these red flag laws, and then I look at what's going on with the mental health system in these various states. In Virginia, for instance, we are routinely running out of inpatient beds. So when somebody is picked up on a mental health hold, oftentimes they're sitting in a jail cell rather than getting the evaluation they need from mental health professionals. And I know that particularly in New Mexico, rural mental health services are dramatically underfunded and are unavailable in a lot of cases. And it seems to me like this is a way for politicians to say, look, we did something. But the problem is the something doesn't address the real issue. It violates the constitutional rights of residents. And so what they're doing, yeah, they're doing something, but they're not doing anything good and they're not doing anything valuable.
You're absolutely right, Cam, and that's exactly the language they use in their testimonies in these committee hearings, is it's better to do something than nothing. Well, you know what? Their something is violate our constitutional rights, which is horrible as an elected official. Even when they go on their social medias and say, we don't care about your proposed Second Amendment constitutional rights, and the language was, I don't give a damn about your proposed constitutional Second Amendment rights. They don't care. All they want to do is say we did something rather than nothing. If they really truly cared, they'd look at the mental health system, that the failures that are in the state of New Mexico. I mean, it's the same thing. No facilities, no beds, no good treatment, no good. There's no resources to people. I mean, for me, in my county alone, I have to drive almost 100 miles to get somebody to a licensed mental health physician, which is just rural New Mexico, the resources aren't there.
Yeah, I know you're absolutely right. Talking again with Sheriff Tony Mays from Cibola County, New Mexico, about the new red flag law, and again the impending lawsuit challenging that new red flag law. I'm curious, Sheriff. You know, I saw a news story. I think it was from the Las Cruces paper last week, talking about New Mexico's 2nd congressional district, which is seen as a very vulnerable district for Democrats to keep. This was picked up in 2018, and a lot of the Republicans that are running in the primary, they're talking about the Second Amendment. They're bringing things up like the red flag law. In fact, I think you had one candidate who shot a red flag with a rifle in one of her campaign ads. Is this going to be an issue for New Mexico voters this year and this November?
Well, you know, you bring up a good point, Cam, and I'll bring it full circle. Is, you know, for far too long, our elected government in New Mexico has been just running rogue and radical and doing whatever they want, and with no accountability. Last year, in 2018, we've seen that swing vote out of John Ionic County. Not to mention there were somewhere around 8,000 absentee ballots found hidden in the trunk of a car after somebody was declared a winner. You know, I mean, that's horrible. But again, what happened is you see citizens across the state, across the whole state mobilizing, that are like, hey, you know what? You guys are far too left-leaning for us. You don't listen to the voice of the people. You're coming after our constitutional rights. You're coming after our guns. So it doesn't matter what party you're in right now. It's back on the platform of we the people, and they want people to represent their opinion and their voice. So seats that have been unchallenged for so long, they're now getting challenged by Republicans and Democrats. As well as down in the Don Anna County side, and even at the congressional and the state level, citizens, people are coming out of the woodwork to run against these people and upseat them, and really change the makeup of our legislature, because they're just tired of their voices not getting heard. They're tired of the attacks on their rights. They're tired of the tax increases in New Mexico. Everything everything bad that you could imagine is coming out of this legislature, and people are tired of it.
Well, I got to tell you, I mean, it's really encouraging to hear you say that not only are you having Republican candidates, but you're having Democrat candidates challenge some of these policies because, you know, I think you and I may have talked about this before. As far as I'm concerned, and really, I mean, it's not just a matter of opinion. It's a matter of fact. The right to keep and bear arms is a right of the people. And so to me, that makes it a nonpartisan issue. We should have support from the left, from the right, from the middle. I believe that our rights will be far more secure when it's not primarily one political party that's out there defending them. So I would love to see pro-gun Democrats not only run for office, but win office in New Mexico.
Well, and you're absolutely right, Cam, and I'll give you a perfect example here in New Mexico. A lot of a lot of people are conservative. A lot of the elected officials are still conservative. You know, I myself run on a Democratic ticket. I'm elected as a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
I support our president. I support, I support our Constitution. I support our Second Amendment, right? And that's why I'm fighting to protect that, you know. And you'll see a lot of that across New Mexico. It's just upseating some of these deeply rooted people that have held these seats for a while is tough. And it hasn't been done. So I'm hoping this time around, and a lot of citizens are, is, hey, we can change that makeup of the legislature and get back to the, get away from, there's got to be a balance between the parties, right? There really does. And that, we see that more even now because you have a Democrat-controlled Senate, you have a Democrat-controlled House, you have a Democratic governor. There is no balance if they do whatever they want to. So we need to bring that back and get that balance. And if you come from a conservative platform and you want to support the Constitution and support we the people, those are the people that we need in office. I think it's just in Mexico, people have gotten away from it. The elected representatives up there, they've just gotten away from it. And you know, people are going to hold them accountable.
Absolutely. Well, listen, I appreciate you spending a few minutes with us today. And let me know when the lawsuit's officially filed. I'd love to have you back on.
Awesome. Well, we're going to actually be meeting with an attorney tomorrow.
Okay.
Two different attorneys tomorrow. And then we're going to meet with another one on the 13th. And we're just going to try to figure out which law firm is going to represent the people. We're doing this on behalf of the people. So we want to make sure that we choose the right law firm to represent the people and the sheriff. And we can't afford to lose this. Nobody can. Not just here in New Mexico, but across the nation.
Absolutely right. Cibola County Sheriff Tony Mays with us here on Bearing Arms, Cam and Company. Sheriff, thank you so much. Look forward to talking to you again soon. All right. Time now for our armed citizen story, our recidivist report, our good deed of the day. We'll start with our recidivist report from Ohio, where two men have been charged in a drive-by shooting in Bowling Green, Ohio. Both of these gentlemen, young men, at least one of them, known to law enforcement already. The Fremont News Messenger reports that 19-year-old Shante Moore Jr., 23-year-old James J. Starks Jackson, both charged now with first-degree attempt to commit an offense, as well as second-degree felonious assault after allegedly shooting Kobe Jason Peterson in the stomach back on February the 9th, according to the Bowling Green Sentinel Tribune. If convicted, the paper says, both individuals could face up to 5 years in prison. Yeah, just 5 years in prison for shooting somebody in the stomach. That doesn't seem like a lot of time. I mean, that seems like attempted murder. But that's what they're charged with. And, of course, if they take a plea bargain, they're going to do far less than 5 years behind bars. Fascinatingly enough, 19-year-old Shante Moore Jr., he's actually a convicted felon. So he's facing charges of being a felon in possession of a firearm as well. And if the U.S. attorney there in Ohio were to take an interest in this case, decide that he wants to prosecute Shante Moore Jr. at the federal level for being a felon in possession of a firearm, the 19-year-old could actually face more time in federal prison for possessing a gun than he would face in an Ohio prison for actually shooting somebody with the gun. Maybe, just maybe, it might be time to, I don't know, increase the penalties for actually shooting somebody in a violent act. Anyway, according to the Fremont News Messenger, Jackson has a felony conviction for aggravated riot stemming from a June 2000 incident in Sandusky County. He was sentenced to time served, yeah, which amounted to about 6 months in the Sandusky County Jail, and then he was placed on 1 year non-reporting probation. James Starks Jackson Jr. had previously pleaded guilty to aggravated menacing in 2017. He was sentenced to 180 days in jail with 90 days suspended, according to the Fremont Municipal Court record. So that was a misdemeanor and apparently not on probation for those crimes. Now, on to our armed citizen story of the day from KHOU in Houston, Texas, where a home invasion in Katy, Texas turned out poorly for the masked intruder who tried to break in to that home. According to the Harris County Sheriff's Office, the suspect ended up getting shot in the arm. He was wearing a mask when he broke into the home there on Sandalford Road. Taken to a nearby hospital, he is expected to recover, according to police, but he's also expected to be facing some charges once he's discharged from the hospital. The homeowners there in Harris County, Texas, not expected to face any charges at all. And finally, our good deed of the day from South Carolina, Goose Creek, South Carolina, where a police officer in the right place at the right time, willing and able to tie a tie for a young man who unfortunately was getting ready to attend a funeral there in the South Carolina community. Goose Creek Police Department shared photos on last Thursday morning showing one of their officers helping a man tie his necktie. Goose Creek PD said Officer Berg and another officers were leaving the scene of a call when a man approached and asked if anybody knew how to tie a tie. He had a family funeral to attend. The Goose Creek Police Department in a Facebook post said, without hesitation, Officer Bergen got back out of his car to assist. Thank you, Officer Bergen, for your positive presence in our community. So there you go. In the right place at the right time, willing to help out a stranger in a time of need with just a brief little favor that I'm sure meant an absolute lot. We thank you, Officer Bergen, for your very, very good deed. And that is about all the time we've got for you on this edition of Bearing Arms, Cam and Company. I want to thank you for being a part of the program. Don't forget, again, you can subscribe to Town Hall Media at YouTube. Get access to all kinds of information and interviews, not just from us here at Bearing Arms, but throughout the Town Hall Media family. You can also subscribe to Bearing Arms, Cam and Company at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, townhall.com's podcast page. Probably left out a few as well. And you can become a VIP member of Bearing Arms at bearingarms.com. Get exclusive commentary, analysis, and more. And we certainly do thank you for helping to support the Second Amendment journalism that we do each and every day. Thanks for being a part of the program today. Have a great day. Tomorrow, you're going to hear from Jim Garrity, a Super Tuesday election special. And then we'll be back Wednesday with more of the latest Second Amendment news and information from all across the nation. We'll see you then here on Bearing Arms, Cam and Company.